Thank you for tuning in to our latest episode of Twin Souls, a Best Friends podcast. We hope you enjoy our Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem series, and we plan to bring our listeners even more content in the future. We tell you all about ourselves, our lives, and our stories, and somewhere in between, we get into tough and sometimes funny or sexy topics. Stay tuned for more episodes from us at Twin Souls Podcast. Welcome to this episode of Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem. Tonight we introduce you to Murdered Like a Mother. We talk about the bloody and grisly details of the most horrifying baby snatching cases. The first case is about Bobby Joe Sennett. Now, this case happened a while ago. I think it was like one of the first crimes that was ever kind of like this, and then every other one after that just got the idea and followed this. So Bobby Jo Sennett, she was only 23 years old. She was a first-time expectant mother, and she was 8 months pregnant with a healthy baby girl. And she met a pregnant online acquaintance in a chat room for rat terriers named Darlene, because Bobby had bred them on the side with her husband. So after a few weeks of correspondence over this chat and over the supposed purchase of a rat terrier puppy, Darlene, and I say that with bunny ears, came over quote to Bobby Joe. Yeah, quote unquote. So they went offline, and Darlene went over to Bobby Joe's home to finally purchase and visit this puppy that she was supposed to get. So once Bobby Joe opened the front door of her home, she was brutally strangled, she was cut open, and she was left to bleed to death in her own home. So the day of the murders, this happened on December 16th, 2004. Bobby Joe's mother, her name is Miss Harper, returned home from work that day after Bobby Joe had failed to pick her up from work after her shift. So she found Bobby Joe blue and bloody in the back bedroom of their home. She dialed 911 right away to report the incident. And as the dispatcher was asking her what happened, what was going on, Miss Harper had stated that she is laying on the floor with blood everywhere. She was pregnant. It's like her guts have exploded or something. And Bobby Joe was also found lying on the floor with blonde hairs clenched in her hands. So her own mother found her this way.
That's pretty graphic for her own mother to find her that way.
Like, yeah, I don't think I could recover from that. So I'm assuming when she says her guts looked like they spilled out all over the place, I'm going to just assume that maybe, you know, her lower abdomen was hanging out, like maybe some of her intestines, stuff like that. That's kind of the picture I'm getting in my head.
What does she mean that she was pregnant? Is she still not pregnant anymore? Like,
so at that point, I believe when she said she was pregnant, I'm assuming it appeared that she was no longer pregnant at that point. Because she said to the operator, it looked like her stomach, like her abdomen had just freaking exploded everywhere.
Okay.
So it is said, and I do want to say this, that Bobby Joe was still alive while her attacker came at her with a kitchen knife. And as Bobby Joe began to fend off her attacker, she had multiple defensive wounds on her hands and arms from trying to protect herself from the savage attack. So she didn't go out without a fight. The medical examiner believed that Bobby Joe was still conscious as her baby was being physically cut out of her. So
that is...
So they're saying that she fought back as hard as she could, and she was definitely conscious when her attacker, who is Lisa Montgomery, not Darlene, attacked her. She went, you know, she fought all the way. So after this happened, on the other side of town, a 38-year-old woman named Lisa Montgomery and her husband, Kevin, have now welcomed a new bouncing baby girl to their family of their own. So Kevin came home and Lisa told Kevin that she had given birth at the Birth and Women's Center in Topeka, which obviously, if anyone's following how this is going, that was proved to be untrue. So the police had found Lisa Montgomery after they seized Bobby Joe's computer, and the trail led back to the various chats that the two had had over the sale of a puppy. So Lisa used the online moniker of Darlene Fisher. Authorities quickly realized that Darlene Fisher did not exist and traced the chat's IP address, and that led them to Lisa Montgomery's house. So the agents told Kevin and Lisa that they had checked with the staff at the center, and there was never a record of Lisa Montgomery ever being there or giving birth there recently or at all.
Dun, dun, dun.
So at this point, the police are wondering what's going on. So what happened was, ultimately, once the police confronted Lisa Montgomery with the information that there had never been any records of her giving birth at that center, she then confessed and broke down to strangling Bobby Joe and confessed to cutting her baby girl from her womb. And she also confessed to kidnapping the infant girl. And Kevin Montgomery, who was her husband, was shocked at his wife's confession because he believed that Lisa had really been pregnant. So leading up to this, she had faked a pregnancy. Something I didn't add in my notes, but something I kind of kept in the back of my head for this. A couple months before this happened, before they started corresponding online, Bobby Joe, I believed, bred and trained dogs. And Lisa Montgomery was in the same dog training class. So they knew each other previously to this ever happening. And I think she knew she was pregnant. So, and then I guess you could say, I'm going to assume Lisa Montgomery kind of was a predator and stalked her out online, like you said, and then lured her over with the promise of she was interested in, you know, buying this puppy. And she came over and revealed, oh my God, you're not Darlene Fisher. Like, I recognize you. She must have kind of went, what the hell, in her head.
Oh, of course. She had to have been. Especially if they kind of knew of each other.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. It's so random. It's like, why are you at my house? Like, I thought your name was Lisa, not Darlene. I don't even know what she was thinking. She must have just been like, what the hell are you doing here? Like, who are you? Who are you really?
Exactly.
So after her confession and she had broken down that she committed this crime, Lisa Montgomery was sentenced and was ordered to be put to death for this crime. She was convicted and sentenced to death in late October 2007. Her defense attorneys claim that she suffered from pseudocyesis, I believe is how it's spelt. And it's a behavioral health condition that causes a woman to believe that she is pregnant. In a way, they're saying that she, I want to say, might have not been completely responsible because she had a behavioral health condition.
Pretending to be pregnant and ripping a baby out of someone's stomach are two completely different things. And I think you have to be fighting for something more mentally not there for this to even work.
Yeah, I agree. It's completely two different monsters. As bizarre as all of that is. So she was arrested after the confession and she was charged with the federal offense of kidnapping resulting in death. And it was established that her husband, Kevin, was not involved in the murder of Bobby Joe Stinnett. For anyone who's wondering if he knew, or as stupid as he may have seemed, like not questioning her, like, why didn't you call me if you were giving birth, or, you know, something like that. Like, he didn't really question her. She just came home with the baby and he's like, oh, okay. Like, must be my child then.
You know what? The thing is, though, there's all those stories about those women who didn't know they were pregnant, and to think that he had no idea that she was actually faking it. I think that, in my opinion, I think that even though it's proven true, and some people might think otherwise, I think that's the truth as well.
I think this crime is very, it's absolutely horrible because Bobbi Jo Stinnett was completely innocent. I think she just had good intentions, and I think she was targeted by Lisa, who may have been suffering from a health condition. But taking it to the way she did and kind of planning and stalking out Bobby and kind of went about it, I just feel like she deserves where she's at, my opinion. So she is currently, she was just put to death actually a couple months ago. She was in prison for a while, and then just a few weeks ago, they actually put her to death using the injection. I can't think of it right now. Having a brain block.
Lethal injection?
Lethal injection, yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. I know I'm cute.
So, something that I found very interesting, there was a testimony of witnesses in this case. And it was five random Malvern women who testified, and they said during trial that they were very skeptical when they heard that Lisa Montgomery was pregnant in 2004, partly because Lisa had previously done this before. She had claimed to be pregnant twice before and obviously did not end up having a baby either, you know, once or twice.
With the same husband?
Yes.
Okay, and okay. They, you're just a fucking idiot now.
I mean, they said that during all this, she did not look pregnant, even though she claimed to be. And even a week before she introduced this new baby, she still didn't look pregnant for the obvious, you know, obvious reason, because she wasn't.
Exactly.
So what happened to the baby that she had cut out of Bobbi Jo and ultimately kidnapped? The baby was actually found alive pretty well and like unharmed. Lisa was examined herself after the fact at the hospital, and the doctors had obviously determined that she was not a woman who had just given birth. There was zero physical evidence of a vaginal birth or C-section, obviously. And I'm assuming investigators did a DNA test on the baby before she was officially, you know, proclaimed as this missing infant. And yeah. ultimately she was reunited with her father, and he named her Victoria Jo after her mom. And she's still, from what I've read, she's still alive and well today. They keep her pretty out of the spotlight. I'm not sure how old
the baby would be. I think she's 18.
Yeah, something like that. I'm not sure how old exactly she would be today, but I've heard she's doing well. So that was one of the cases where there was actually a little bit of a happy ending. There was justice, and the baby ended up surviving. Still grisly and awful, but something good came out of it. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, share, and follow us on all of our social media, including Facebook, and find us on Instagram at @TwinSoulsPodcast_. Stay tuned for more episodes from us at Twin Souls Podcast. Next, we have two short cases. I kind of wanted to put a mash of different cases together so we could compare and contrast them. So Jamila Tinstall, she was a young woman, and she kind of had a hard life. She had a best friend named Tiffany Hall, and they were survivors of crime and poverty and potholed roads. So they didn't have the best upbringing. The girls were two quiet loners who slowly gravitated toward each other at school, and they both became young teenage mothers. So years later, with two children of her own, Hall babysat Tunstall's three children. So I just want to put this out there. Tiffany Hall and Jamella were best friends, and she would watch her children for her whenever she needed her. So ultimately, what ended up happening, and this, just viewer discretion is advised because this is very graphic, in my opinion. So, hang on, let me find it. So Hall ended up murdering Jamila, and she was, I believe they say, 8 months pregnant or 7 months pregnant. Yeah. So basically she, yeah, 7 months pregnant. Okay. So September 15th, Hall killed Jamila, and after the fact, someone ended up finding her body, and Hall and the baby that she had just cut out of her friend were taken to a hospital, and she refused to let the doctors examine her and gave conflicting accounts of why she went into labor. Ultimately, she said she was raped, and that's what caused her to go into labor. And the baby girl itself showed no signs of trauma, and she actually didn't end up surviving. And an autopsy the next day failed to pinpoint an exact cause of death. So they're saying what happened was Tiffany broke into Jamila's apartment, got her in the bathtub, and slit her open with kitchen scissors, is what I read, and took her baby girl out from her womb. After the fact, she took her remaining three children and drowned them in the same bathtub that she had just cut the mother open and gave her a home C-section for the most part. And she actually killed all three children that were left behind that she used to babysit. And she stuffed their bodies in this washer and dryer in the apartment. And she basically took the infant, shut the door, and left. So
what a crazy, crazy ass bitch.
Yeah. I swear you can't trust your children with anybody these days. Like, she's grown up with this girl. She watched this woman's children, and she just like went in there and butchered her ass and stole her baby and killed her children, innocent children, for nothing. And I do want to say, because this was really interesting, the woman, Tiffany Hall, the woman that ended up committing all these crimes, she actually had two children of her own when she was a teenager. And I kind of looked into her background, and interestingly enough, she wanted to have a baby, but her first two previous children were actually taken away from her because of abuse.
Okay, so she thought she, well, no excuse. No excuse.
So I guess she just thought, like, she'd just go on down to the store and get herself a baby. She had absolutely no empathy for what she did to this family at all. I mean, she really just disposed of these innocent children like they were trash.
She really did. She really did.
And the investigator had talked about how when he walked into the apartment, he went into the laundry room, and all you could smell is like this super strong smell of death and rot. And it was horrible. And the children were ultimately found to have been drowned in the bathtub. Now I'm not 100% what ended up happening to her. I know she had got a $5 million bond in jail. She was ultimately accused in the death of Jamila and her children. Okay. So ultimately the coroner found that Hall struck Jamila over the head repeatedly with something that was heavy, and ultimately it was found to be a table leg, and then she cut the fetus from her room in the bathtub, and ultimately Jamila ended up bleeding to death. And Tiffany Hall was ultimately sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for killing her pregnant friend Jamila, her unborn child, and her three children. So nothing, I mean, they got justice.
Yeah.
But so many people lost their lives over nothing. And she never gave them a motive. She never gave them a motive of why she did it. Like, she never ultimately confessed and said, this is why I did this. She wouldn't even offer them a motive when they tried to bait her.
That's so horrible.
So, it's so scary. So that's another case that I wanted to touch upon, because I think it's absolutely brutal. And for Tiffany Hall to not only murder Jamila and her unborn child, which is horrible enough, you basically have no empathy or sympathy or soul if you can do something like that, never mind turning around and then murdering the three kids that used to babysit and that trusted you. And Jamila, I do want to say, was only 23 years old, so she was really, really young.
Sure.
And she had her whole life ahead of her. So, and by the time the authorities found the kids' bodies, they were already decomposed so bad because they were stuffed in the washer and dryer. And they were basically just stuffed away for days until they found them. So it's absolutely horrifying case. I don't know what this just takes it to the next level for me. Not only is it murdering a pregnant woman, but her innocent children, and that's just psychotic in my opinion. It was totally senseless. And evidently, the woman couldn't keep custody of her first two children. They were found to be severely neglected and abused. They said that her daughter was 7 years old and she was still in diapers and couldn't even muster like a sentence.
Aww.
So her kids got taken away from her. And rightfully so. So I'm not really sure what her motive was. It's just really bizarre. So the last case that I want to add to this episode was Sarah Brady. And this is one of the more recent cases that have happened.
Is that girl you went to school with?
Yeah, right.
Shade.
So Sarah Brady was weeks away from her due date in February 2005. And one day she got a call out of the blue from a woman who called herself Sarah Brody. Brody claimed that she had incorrectly received a package that was intended for Sarah. The woman, whose real name was Katie Smith, said that she was 9 months pregnant and that then the two women had a long phone chat over the phone over their respective pregnancies. You can say that Sarah had thought she had found a friend in this new woman who had just randomly gotten her package. So they bonded over both being supposedly 9 months pregnant, as women would normally do. So after speaking that day, Sarah drove to the apartment complex to pick up the packages, but Katie told her that the packing slips had been misplaced. The following day, Sarah came back to the apartment complex to pick up a second package that was mistakenly sent to her. And as soon as Sarah walked through the door, she noticed that something was off. And Katie had pretended to be in labor, like, because she said she was 9 months pregnant. So Sarah had helped her over into the bathroom, tried to keep her comfortable. And then she said she looked up and she saw a bunch of evil in her eyes. And that's kind of when the attack started. and she took out a kitchen knife.
Sorry to interrupt, but the way you're speaking, is she still alive? Are we going to get there?
We're going to get there.
Okay, I'm excited.
So after that had happened, Katie had turned around, had a kitchen knife in her hand, and started attacking Sarah. And I just want to kind of set everybody up because Katie used, like, she was using padded pregnancy suits to convince her friends and family previously that she was pregnant. And she also had a stocked nursery full of surgical supplies and sharp tools. She intended to use these tools to slice a pregnant woman's baby from their body.
Okay.
So she was prepared. And what's interesting is this investigation actually took a turn because Sarah was actually accused by the investigator of this case of being a part of this whole thing and that she had intended to sell her baby to the stranger. So basically they were saying, like, you asked for it. And what ended up happening was that her family members made allegations about her wanting to sell her baby on the black market. And she went through a 14-month investigation and she was ultimately cleared because she was the victim in this case. So what happened was during the attack, she struggled and they struggled for a couple of minutes. And ultimately what happened was Sarah got the knife away from Katie and Sarah actually stabbed Katie and ended up killing her in self-defense.
Oh.
She made it out alive, and her baby was born, I think the article said, 2 weeks, 1 or 2 weeks later, and she was fine. She was healthy. So, yeah, okay. So she gave birth to her daughter literally a week after the attack happened, and of course she had defensive wounds all over her hands because she had tried to defend herself. So ultimately she ended up killing Katie, and yeah, she was not charged for it because it was self-defense and she had proof of that. So she had her baby, everyone's happy, well obviously except for Katie's family, but the victim got out in this case and survived and the baby was fine. So I just think it's amazing because the other victims never made it out alive, so I just think it's incredible. So I just want to talk a little bit about, just a little bit to kind of end this episode and go out on a note. Why are pregnant women targeted? So this is something that I learned about in my domestic violence courses that I had to take. A lot of pregnant women are usually targeted by partners, by their own partners, husbands, boyfriends, whatever. And it's actually very interesting because a study that was published in March 2005 found that homicide was actually the leading cause of death among pregnant women in the United States between 1991 and 1999. So data taken from the Pregnancy Mortality Surveillance System found that the pregnancy-associated homicide ratio was 1.7 per 100,000 live births.
Wow. Holy crap. Considering the population of the United States, that's a bad figure.
I mean, it's it's scary that pregnant women are targeted like this. And most of the time, I will say, it's by their own intimate partners. It's very kind of rare for a woman to attack a pregnant woman, but obviously it does happen and it's still happening today. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, share, and follow us on all of our social media, including Facebook, and find us on Instagram at @TwinSoulsPodcast_. Stay tuned for more episodes from us at Twin Souls Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to our latest episode of Twin Souls, a best Friends podcast.